This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Like call his wife and hey, 405! McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Gotcha for another hour until the warm-up show. We got Ryan on the other side, Fleeks hanging out as well. And we're taking your calls at 888-808-1019. We opened the show talking a little football with the two reports that came out about the New York Giants earlier in the day. One, they have met with Matthew Stafford's people and are very interested in trading for the veteran quarterback. And the other one that sounds a hell of a lot sexier to me, Aaron Rodgers has reached out to the New York Giants to gauge their interest, I suppose, according to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. So with those two reports, it begs the question for me, which one is better off? And for me, I want to go with what Joe Shane said the other day. I want to go with drafting the young quarterback, bringing in the veteran, and I can't think of a better veteran than Aaron Rodgers to come in and have a young quarterback learn while they go about still trying to win. And I understand that many people might think, oh, what do you mean trying to win with Rodgers? Did you see him last year? I saw him last year, but let me ask you a question. Like, what makes more sense for the New York Giants right now? To trade for a 37-year-old veteran quarterback whose motivation for coming here is money. Plain and simple. If he's willing to come to the New York Giants, it's about getting paid. That's all he cares about. Because you can't tell me he's coming here to win, that he's leaving the Rams to come here in this division with Washington and Philadelphia, obviously the defending Super Bowl champs, that he's leaving Sean McVay to come to Brian Daboll, the New York Giants, and they're losing ways to win football games. He's coming here for $50 million to help his wife's podcast, to set up his post-NFL career, whatever you want to say. That's the motivation of this 37-year-old quarterback to come in here in this team, step into a team that has an opportunity to still be good offensively. I agree with that. The Malik Nabers of the world, I think he's an excellent wide receiver. I think they can fix their offensive line. If Andrew Thomas is healthy, that goes a long way to fixing it. Tracy's a good, talented young running back. Wandale Robinson, another option. Theo Johnson, a young tight end kind of prospect who got hurt at the end of last year. Like, could he make the offensive work? I guess, but are they really going to win? Because when you bring in a 37-year-old veteran and give him a 3-year contract at $50 million per, and you trade away, what, a second and third round pick, theoretically? You better win, and not just win 7-8 games and no longer be a laughingstock. That's not the bar I'm looking for when I pay $50 million to a quarterback and trade away a second and third round pick. That's a lot of equity to put into the position. To just be, hey, I'm not a laughingstock anymore. Not good enough. You have to be a legitimately good football team, a winning football team. And I don't know if the Giants are at that process right now. I just don't. As opposed to the motivation for Aaron Rodgers, who's coming here just to prove his name. And yeah, part of the report that he's reached out to the Giants is the expectation that that means that he's already talked to better options, such as the Pittsburgh Steelers or the San Francisco 49ers, who Lynch came out and said he's, you know, kind of discussing things with Brock Purdy. So who knows what that situation is? Who knows what Pittsburgh is? But sure, would it be a last-ditch effort for the veteran quarterback and Aaron Rodgers to come to the New York Giants? Is that where he wants to go? Probably not, because I don't know if it leads to winning. But ultimately, if he does come here, it's not about the money, because they won't have to pay him all that much. Not $50 million for sure. Not going to have to trade draft picks for him. He's probably going to be released. He's coming here for one purpose, to recapture his name, to prove he could still play football, to not have last year be the definitive final year of his career. Because there were reports on when the report came out that he really was interested in joining the Jets or staying with the Jets and tried to make his case. The feeling was he was dejected because all people will remember is the last year. I would rather have a motivated Aaron Rodgers on a less money, no giving up picks, 1 year deal, and have a motivated Aaron Rodgers a year removed from the Achilles injury, doing everything he can to prove he's still a great quarterback, to prove he's still Aaron Rodgers, to prove he can still play the game of football, while I draft the young quarterback at three, and I'm living with learning from one of the smartest, best quarterbacks to ever play the game, and I've got my immediate future and try and salvage some wins. Because honestly, with an average quarterback play, building the roster, adding pieces, spending money in free agency, along with some of the other, you know, already set offensive players I just listed, this team easily can win 6 or 7 games. I know the schedule's tough. I get it. I know the schedule's hard. But it's hard to lose 3 games. I mean, win 3 games, rather. It's hard to be as bad as the Giants have been. It doesn't take much to be a 6-7 win team and feel better about things while you have your future quarterback learning from Aaron Rodgers. And then for the people who have the concern about keeping Shane and Dable, because you hear this a lot, the concern about the New York Giants with keeping Shane and Dable, and I know Evan was big on this, is I don't want them taking the Hail Mary. I don't want them doing something just to salvage their jobs with the New York Giants. Joe Shane had to speak on this and had to, you know, pretty much make a vow. Hey, I'm not going to take the Hail Mary. I'm not going to do something crazy just to keep my job. But what's crazier? What's more of the Hail Mary for a GM looking to save his job? Doing what all teams do when they don't have a quarterback and are at the top of the draft and drafting a young quarterback, or leveraging the future and spending $50 million a year for a 37-year-old quarterback who, by the way, yes, has won a Super Bowl and has had a great run with the Rams, but we've seen him with bad teams and bad franchises. What'd he do with Detroit? And he had Megatron. He had talent. They won some games. They went to the playoffs a year or two, but did they ultimately have any real sustained success with Matthew Stafford? And that's not to knock him. I'm just saying, what makes you think he's a guaranteed program builder when he couldn't do it in Detroit? What makes you think, oh, you get Matthew Stafford and suddenly you're the cat's pajamas? I have no idea what the Giants are going to be if they bring in Matthew Stafford. Now, is Matthew Stafford younger than Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. Do I think, you know, if I had to make a decision, gun to my head, who has the better season? Of course. Matthew Stafford, I can't tell you I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be better than Matthew Stafford. I'm just saying, if Matthew Stafford decides to come to the Giants, and all indications really are that it's not going to happen, that he's probably going to stay with the Rams, but if he makes that decision, that's about money. And he's happy the second that contract is signed. Give me the hungry Aaron Rodgers while I build for my future with the young draft picks. We spent a lot of time on that this morning. Nolan Arenado and his 3-hour bus ride that ultimately I think was just a little pop-up to say, hey, Yankees, I'm interested. I don't think it was necessarily a showcase. It was more of just, hey, I'll get on the bus I'll show my face. I'll let you know, hey, more than happy. I inconvenienced myself and took this miserable bus ride for you. I think that's about it. So we spent some time on that. I didn't get a chance to talk about the Knicks, who obviously had a victory last night over the lousy, terrible, injury-plagued Philadelphia 76ers, who had lost 8 games in a row. They jump out to a 19-point lead. Mikal Bridges goes off in the first quarter for, I believe, 18 points. The Knicks are blowing them out. And then, of course, what happens in a game where Karl Anthony Towns wasn't able to go, and that's a talking point because, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is healthy enough after being hobbled off the floor against the Celtics to come back in an 18-point deficit with 4 minutes left. That the knee was just fine for that, but not good enough to play in this game against Philadelphia. And obviously with the minutes police and everything hovering over the head coach, that's a decision that people just, that's low-hanging fruit. That is an easy knock against this head coach who put in Karl Anthony Towns with a few minutes left in a blowout while he was hobbling up and down the court, but he can't play this game against Philadelphia. And the Knicks avoid what would have been an absolute disaster of a loss. It's a good victory. They needed it, right? Coming off of those two losses and blowout fashion against the Cavs and the Celtics, they absolutely needed a victory. But if they would have blown a 19-point lead to that team, they were down by 2 points in this game. Before Brunson, they're up 19. They blow it all the way to be down 2. Jalen Brunson hits a huge 3. And then, I don't know if you know this at the end of the game, but we finally saw it. I've been screaming for about 3 weeks while everyone's yelling about Tibbs and the minutes police. How about a side out of bounds play that ends up in a layup? And we finally got one to seal the game. We get a side out of bounds play and a dunk for OG Anunoby. Who am I to knock Tibbs? Great job, Tibbs. But they just avoided what would have been a disastrous loss. Can you imagine? Think of all the different storylines that were hitting that game, right? Mikal Bridges has been an absolute disaster, and that's been a major talking point after these two losses. Karl Anthony Towns and his knee in the end of that game against the Celtics, but not good enough to play in this one. You got those coming off two brutal losses where you get blown out against the best teams in the East. You welcome in a team on an 8-game losing streak who's, you don't know if the superstar is ever going to play another game. They're just an absolute disaster and a joke right now. And if they were to take you after Mikal Bridges, who I just talked about, scored 18 in the first quarter, they take a 19-point lead, blow it. If they would have lost that game, I might not have been yelling about Aaron Rodgers for as long as I was yelling about this morning. We would have been yelling about the New York Knicks and a disastrous 3-game stretch. So they avoided that disgusting loss, came up with a huge win, and again, the man, I don't know if he's the king of New York because Aaron Judge does live here, and he's the better player, but Brunson has just consistently pulled them out of the fire. He did it again last night. So we can talk a little Knicks as well. St. John's with a victory over Butler. And they now at least secure a tie of the Big East regular season championship, something we haven't seen in about 40 years. So the basketball teams, although they're struggling Knicks, they are a 3-seed. They will almost definitely be a 3-seed in the playoffs. They're getting Mitchell Robinson back. I don't know if it's going to be this next game or if it's going to take another week, but Mitchell Robinson is on the precipice of coming back. They're going to ease him in, but ultimately he is considered by the coach who called him this, the starting center. Should help them defensively, will absolutely help them, protecting the rim and rebounding. So we'll see if that can transform them into a team capable of at least hanging with the upper echelon of the NBA. And we got St. John's, one win away from securing a regular season victory in the Big East, heading into the Big East tournament as a number one seed and looking to secure a 3-seed in the NCAA tournament. So that is about as unique a situation as far as our basketball teams go for a long, long time. 888-808-1019. I'm going to get on Tom Brady in a little bit. One of my favorite things to do, as he's caused a ruckus inside the NFL news breaking world. So we'll get to that as well. 888-808-1019. We get Maury in Belmore. Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
Real quick on yesterday's show, the fact that you were covering space.
Yes.
All you needed were documentaries, and that's Al's future. Think about it. A show that doesn't talk about the Giants' offensive line.
Right.
It talks about space. Documentaries, all you're missing is those little flying helicopters in the area. And that's a show that he'll do for the rest of his life.
I can see that. Couldn't you see? I definitely could see, like, one of those shows where, like, it opens up, the show opens up in, like, a science lab.
World.
Like, the TV screen comes on, and the show opens up, and it's like a science lab or something with like a weird background, and then all of a sudden Al comes in walking off camera onto the screen. Yeah, that would be very, very funny. Yeah, right.
And then
with a Bobby approved snack, raw almonds or something.
Where is he from again? What's the town he's from?
He lives. I don't know where he's from, but I know he lives in Bradley Beach right now.
So yesterday you said, we got Bradley from Ralph Beach.
Yes,
it was
I
Ralph
did.
From Bradley Beach.
I did. I had one of those moments. Yes, I did.
All right. So now I'll go to my call.
Yes.
St. John's. My old man's 84 years old. He's just a St. John's fan. Came off the boat from Italy, but tied himself to the 70s and 80s of the St. Johnny's. And he's walking on sunshine right now.
Yeah.
He's the happiest guy in the world. He's like, they're back. It's amazing. The whole New York city is incredible. And then we got the next. That inbound pass and that layup was beautiful. They were going to lose that game. I can't. And Brunson's not going to be able to do this all year long. He can't keep doing this all year long without breaking down. And I'm concerned about that. And then, last but not least, by making a big deal of Arenado taking the bus, they should have pulled this trigger already. They got to get it done. I'm hoping they do something before and get rid of Stroman and make that happen, because I'll be pretty happy if that could happen. That'll plug in a hole. And then, last but not least, because did you say the cat's pajamas again?
I don't know if I've ever said it before, but I definitely said it today. The cat's pajamas, yes.
No, you said it before. We had a conversation about it.
It's a turn of phrase that I've uttered once or twice before in my life, yes.
And Johnny Dangerously, the line I said to you a while ago, it's an 88. It shoots through schools. That's a line from the movie. Just so you know.
I hear you, Maury. I don't remember that line from Johnny Dangerously. The Joe Piscopo line of, you know, you shouldn't hang me on a hook, Johnny. My grandmother hung me on a hook once. That's really the only, I mean, I remember the movie, you know, Michael Keaton, classic movie, but that's the only real line I remember taking away from it was he said it like three or four times. You shouldn't shoot me, Johnny. You shouldn't hang me on a hook, Johnny. You shouldn't, my grandmother hung me on a hook once. 888-808-1019. But yeah, what's the matter with cat's pajamas? Is that a phrase? Ryan, are you familiar with cat's pajamas?
Definitely not. I had
no?
to Google it.
You've never heard, like, the cat's pajamas?
Nobody uses that word or term.
Nobody?
When you said it, I said to Ryan, wow, I haven't heard that phrase in a while. And he said, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah. No, yeah. Think you're the cat's pajamas. I got it from somewhere. I don't know. But it's something I definitely do say. I'm not sure exactly where I got it from. Let's go to Phil and Hal. Phil, are you aware of the term the cat's pajamas?
Well, no, but I just want to give a little respect for Maury. I'm from Howell. Maury, I grew up in Belmore, and the only people from Belmore know that downtown the name of the movie theater is called The Itch. So he'll know.
Okay.
Okay.
Next time I talk to Maury, I'll ask him if he's been to The Itch.
Okay. Listen, I like to talk about the Jets. I mean, the Giants for a minute.
Sure.
I don't understand how the people at your station are so infatuated with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I really don't get it. Listen, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
That
one
might
of the
have
best.
Something to do with it.
We all know that. Okay. Mm-hmm. To me, he's through. I'm sorry. He made a debacle of being with the Jets. He's a joke.
You think
he really is?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Because
okay.
I mean, look at. You're going to come back at me. You're going to say, well, you know, he's had the best statistical quarterback, you know, for the Jets, you know, since God knows when, okay?
Yeah. Right.
But you were 4-13. I mean, doesn't that say anything?
Yeah, it says that the owner was ranked F by the players, the only owner in the sport who fired their coach midseason and the defense fell apart and the Jets jetted and Aaron Rodgers wasn't good enough to pull them out of it. And he definitely had some poor play along the way and cost them some games. But early on, they had two specific games where a kicker making a normal kick wins them the game. Then they pulled their coach out from under him and went to a defensive coordinator and didn't replace his defensive coordinator duties with anyone. He was stretched too thin, and he had no idea what the hell he was doing, and the team fell apart. So he threw for 4,000 yards. He had 28 touchdown passes and 11 interceptions. I'm sorry. I know they lost. I don't consider that a joke.
I just think that, you know, like, your record is what the way I see it.
I understand that. Okay, so let me ask you a question. The New York Giants, in my mind, should draft the young quarterback. Let's just put aside even our differences on that. I don't know how you feel about it. But let's just say, because they've talked about this route, I think it's the way most teams go when you don't have a quarterback and you're drafting third in the NFL draft. I think they should take a quarterback and bring in a veteran to help them win right now. What veteran out there is less of a joke than the 28 touchdown passes and 4,000 yards that Aaron Rodgers had last year? What's the option?
The only guy I'm really thinking about maybe is getting maybe like a Justin Fields or something like that.
What has his record been in the NFL?
I'm not sure.
Not very good. And last year it was pretty good. Last year he played 6 games for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he won 4 of them. He was 4-2. And then arguably the best head coach in football said, "Thank you for the 4-2 record, but I'm going to put your ass on the bench and play Russell Wilson instead." And then when Russell Wilson at the end of the year was so bad that he was costing the team win after win after win heading into the postseason, did Mike Tomlin say, "Hey, Justin Fields, you know what? It's time to make a change. He's been terrible." No, he kept his ass on the bench. So, like, I don't know where the option is for the New York Giants to be better than Aaron Rodgers. I'm not telling you, and again, I only do it if I'm drafting the young quarterback. I draft the young quarterback, and I give that young quarterback a player that, whether, you know, Gio thinks it's a debatable point on how the players feel about him, on whether or not he should be kept, it doesn't change the fact that he's beloved by his players. Every teammate he's had, with the New York Jets specifically, has absolutely said nothing but wonderful things about him. Love, who he was open about not wanting to mentor when he first was drafted in Green Bay. That's because Aaron Rodgers was winning MVPs or was, you know, still a... He won the next two MVPs, but he was still in the middle of his career with Green Bay. He felt like he put in a lot of work and blood, sweat, and tears with them, and they never once drafted an offensive player in the first round. The first time they do in his entire NFL career was to draft his backup and his replacement. So he didn't love that. And I think that's a completely different situation than the one he finds himself in now, practically out there with his hand out looking for a job. And whether or not he wanted to help develop Love or not, or how much impact he had in the development of Love, I watched the documentary, and Love has nothing but nice things to say about him and turned out to be a pretty damn good quarterback. So why not bring in one of the smartest and successful and best quarterbacks in the history of the game, still better today than any other option this side of trading multiple picks and paying $50 million for Matthew Stafford? Why wouldn't I want him on the Giants to help develop my young quarterback while I go about winning? I'm not obsessed with Aaron Rodgers. I don't see a better option for the New York Giants. I think the Jets should have kept him because there's not a better option, and I think the Giants should be willing to bring him in because there's not a better option. Plain and simple. And whether or not he's the MVP Aaron Rodgers, yeah, no, he's not. I get that. But I didn't look at his play last year and think he was a joke. The team was a joke. The team's been a joke for 15 years. And even the great Aaron Rodgers wasn't able to change that joke. But I didn't look at his play last year, as disappointing as it was, as many losses as it led to, I still didn't look at his play and tell you it was a joke. Because go through it and tell me the guy who threw for 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions with the track record of Aaron Rodgers, and tell me how the Giants can get him. And again, to me, I'm never betting against Aaron Rodgers. Never. You want to call him done? You want to call him washed? Okay. I wouldn't bet against him. And a pissed off, motivated Aaron Rodgers, who would love to stick it to Woody Johnson, where nowhere else to turn to try and resurrect his career and resurrect his name and not have his final season and his career go out the way it went out last year, I'll take that chance. What's the worst? What's the worst case that happens for the New York Giants? He doesn't play well, and you have to go to the young quarterback earlier than you'd like. So what? So what? I'm not telling you he's going to come to the Giants and lead them to a Super Bowl. I'm saying he can come to the Giants with the offensive weapons they have and be better than any other option they have this side of trading for Matthew Stafford while I develop the quarterback of the future. That seems like a better idea for me than trading multiple draft picks, paying $50 million for a quarterback who will come here for one reason, money. And I don't begrudge him his money. This is the NFL. He's won a Super Bowl. You get your ass kicked. You put your life on the line. You put the not only your current health, but the health for the rest of your life on the line. I don't begrudge a single NFL player. I'll never criticize a player who holds out. I'll never criticize a player for wanting more money. I'm not trying to tell you that he's a bad guy for wanting more money or that he isn't entitled to more money. But if he picks the Giants, you know exactly why he's doing it. Because nobody else will pay him $50 million, and he wants it. Give me a hungry, pissed-off Aaron Rodgers for next to nothing compared to trading away draft picks, a second- and third-round pick, arguably, and paying $50 million for a guy who's going to be happy with the situation the second he signs the contract. And that is the epitome of the Hail Mary that we're all nervous that the GM and coach are going to make to satisfy their owner. Like, that doesn't sound like a winning decision for me. That sounds like a failure. It just does. And anyway, he's out there skiing with Tom Brady. I don't know if he's going to... And that report has led to a little bit of an issue inside NFL circles.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:36. Rubonigal here with you on The Fan. Tom Brady. Man, this guy knows no bad. It's forever reaching the issues this guy causes. So if you haven't seen this report or this story, this is a fun one inside, you know, reporters, as there is it leads to a verbal confrontation in a Starbucks, which is always fun. I told you the most I've ever laughed out loud in my life was I was at a Starbucks in Franklin Square, my hometown, and there was a woman with a t-shirt on that had the whole shirt was a huge big cat face. It was like, it must have been like a picture of her cat. It was like a big cat face, the whole shirt. And just out of nowhere, she screams, "This is the longest I have ever waited for a coffee in my life. And I've been to Starbucks all across this country." Just out of nowhere. I was hysterical laughing. I could not stop laughing. Anyway, so confrontations in Starbucks are always fun. But Jordan Schultz, who is a Fox Sports NFL insider, put out a report that Tom Brady, who is part owner of the Vegas Raiders, spent the weekend skiing with Matthew Stafford and is trying to recruit Matthew Stafford to come play for the Raiders. And this is part of it. Now, people will say this is, I guess there's some thought that this could be, you know, tampering in some way. I'm not sure it is. He's been given permission to talk to teams about value. I think you could probably file this some way under that. I would think you'd be able to. Hey, I'm allowed to talk value with him. And, you know, the owner had a private conversation with him, whether it's in a boardroom or a on a ski slope or whatever else. I don't know exactly how the things work, but there is some thought that maybe that's a little funny business. So when Ian Rappaport, who obviously has been breaking news for a long time in the NFL, comes out with a story contradictory to Jordan Schultz and says that that is not true, that Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford just happened to be skiing at that same resort in Montana at the same time and bumped into each other, but no real recruiting or major conversation ever happened. To which Jordan Schultz replied with, yeah, sure, you know, it just so happens that these two guys found their way to the same ski resort in Montana to bump into each other. What a coincidence. And apparently, Jordan Schultz had such an issue with the contradictory report and I guess the nature of it that they ran into each other, coincidentally enough, in a Starbucks, and Jordan Schultz verbally accosted, is the report from Mike Florio and Pro Football Talk, that Jordan Schultz verbally accosted Ian Rappaport at a Starbucks Wednesday afternoon. A report was made to NFL security, which is investigating the matter. So, I mean, this is hilarious. And only Tom Brady. So these two guys are mad about a contradictory report and apparently yelled at him, if this ever happens again, we're going to have a problem. And the best part of this is Jordan Schultz's father was the CEO of Starbucks from 86 to 2000. The guy is filthy rich. He's the CEO of Starbucks. He owned the Supersonics for about 5 years. But what are the odds that your father runs a Starbucks and you're creating problems in Starbucks? What are you? He's probably sitting there with his gold card, like Eli Manning has the gold card Dunkin', and he can get Dunkin' Donuts wherever he wants. He probably gets Starbucks whenever he wants with a gold card that my daddy was the CEO. He's sitting there waiting for his, you know, soy latte when all of a sudden he hears, Ian? Actually, it's Ian over here. Thank you. And then, who? And he runs over to him. And before he even has his chance to put on his cardboard coffee warmer, he's screaming at him about a contradictory report about a ski trip between Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford. I mean, you can't make it up. That is hilarious. Only Tom Brady. I'm telling you, this guy's nothing but trouble, that Tom Brady. And everything, even this nice little fun story. Now, I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't say fun. I don't know if he's, it's just verbal. Thankfully, it wasn't physical. But this funny-to-me story about two NFL newsbreakers who are upset at the, you know, counter-reaction to their story would get into an argument at Starbucks where NFL security had to be involved. The idea that even that has to be predicated by a story about Tom Brady. It never ends. I can't even laugh at a fight in Starbucks without having to reference the idea that Tom Brady's behind it. The guy is everywhere. Everything comes up Tom Brady. I can't take it anymore. Can't we just have two gentlemen getting into an argument without Tom Brady being involved? But that is... Now look, the cynical person in me, and I guess Ian Rappaport also said that as wealthy, prominent, it's a very popular ski resort, and they both might have property there or know people who have property. The idea that they ran into each other right as a week after... Not even a couple of days after the Rams allowed him to go out and seek his value with other teams, they just happened to be in Montana together skiing, that they just ran into each other? Like, it's not the report that it's totally fabricated. The report is, they just happened to bump into each other. They were having cocoa. They were having hot cocoa or a hot toddy. If Tom Brady's allowed to have hot toddies and hot cocoa, I don't know. He's having an avocado smoothie sitting by the fire. And Matthew Stafford just happened to come walking by. That's all. But if you count, if you say my story's BS again, and you're going to have more problems than cold coffee, my friend. Crazy. 888-808-1019. Real quick, let's get to Dom in North Carolina.
Hey, good morning. I'll go one up on the cynical food chain there. Maybe Tom Brady got caught and he fed the story to Ian Rappaport to cover his tracks. And well, Rapoport did him a favor to ran with it.
Yes, that's what I think that's what we're insinuating. We're insinuating that he fed the story to Rapoport to counteract the idea that he was tampering.
Right, yeah.
But I don't even know if it's tampering if he's given permission to talk to other teams. Like, I don't know if it is tampering.
I don't know. I was waking up this morning and I heard your riff on Rodgers, Rodgers' statistics and Fields' statistics, which are admittedly pedestrian. Mm-hmm. And, suddenly a light bulb went off. They say that football is the ultimate team game.
Yes.
And I'm curious, to what extent has football changed back the other way now so that there's competitive convergence vis-a-vis, all this passing and so forth?
Did you say competitive convergence vis-a-vis?
Yeah.
Do you run the Matrix?
No.
All right, I'm just curious.
Let me get to my question.
Felt like that Matrix part of the movie. Go ahead. Vis-a-vis, ergo.
Go ahead. No. What I'm saying is, I'll say it that way, is it possible that there are certain qualities that create a winning quarterback over and above his statistical performance?
Yeah. I mean, I guess. Are there quarterbacks who, like, I think Tom Brady, for the most part, even though he's had MVP seasons and had put up big numbers, mainly, not only, not to badmouth the player, because we all know he's the greatest quarterback ever, but mainly with Randy Moss in that time period, he put up amazing statistics. But yeah, Tom Brady is a quarterback who probably, almost certainly won more than his numbers. I think right now we're dealing with Eli Manning and the Hall of Fame and those two Super Bowl runs and his ability to perform in the big game and make the big throw, avoid the sack and throw to Tyree, make that great throw to Manningham on the sideline. Like, the ability to outperform your stats is definitely part of it, no doubt. But this isn't a conversation about that necessarily. I mean, if you want to have that conversation, we can. But this is about what's the best option for the New York Giants. That's it. That's it. And I'm just saying, because I had the conversation with Gio and some other people have brought it up to me that Zach Wilson won more games the year before. Like, okay, you want to tell me, watch the two quarterbacks play. You want to tell me that Zach Wilson gave the Jets better quarterback play? It's ridiculous. Now, they won more games because the defense was better. And they didn't fire the coach and dismantle and have the team fall apart. And the kicker made kicks. Zuerlein, Greg the Leg made kicks for Zach Wilson. Missed kicks for Aaron Rodgers. But as stats go, yeah, I get it. But, like, are you going to tell me, like, it's just about wins? Because then, there have been, Joe Burrow won 9 games this year. Are you going to tell me Herbert was a better quarterback this year because he won 11? Is Bo Nix a better quarterback this year because he won 10? Like, there's a line. Obviously, there's a line. Winning is the most important thing. I wouldn't say otherwise. But don't just throw at me, well, Zach Wilson won more games last year. Okay. Herbert won more games than Joe Burrow. Which quarterback would you rather have?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 452, McMonagle here with you. I'm going to get to the calls in 1 second, but I have to comment and react to a story I just saw that is just absolutely tragic. Legendary actor Gene Hackman, his wife and his dog were found dead inside his New Mexico home. They were found yesterday afternoon around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He was 96 years old. His wife and their dog all found dead inside their home in New Mexico. That is a tragic story. The reports are there's no foul play involved. I don't want to speculate or hate to speculate, but I mean, it makes you think that everyone, you know, assuming, you know, no one else was living there or staying there and there's no foul play, some sort of CO2 or gas leak or something, and, you know, to kill him, his wife, and his dog, that is just terrible. I believe she was 63, I'm reading. That is an awful, awful story for a guy who I speak about on the show relatively frequently when we talk movies. I love Gene Hackman, and not just for Hoosiers and like sports related. Like, I talk about a lot of the movies Gene Hackman's in. I mean, he's one of the you put on a movie, it's got Gene Hackman in it, you stick with it. Like, that, I love Gene Hackman. Everything, almost all the movies he's in. I just caught Runaway Jury the other day and got stuck watching it for 45 minutes. When I had to go do something. Like, Unforgiven is one of my favorite movies. The Firm with Tom Cruise. There's so many. Even Get Shorty. Just a phenomenal. And that's not even some of his more... Mississippi Burning. And those aren't even some of his more famous roles. Like, I just think Gene Hackman is one of the great actors in history. And anytime you put on a Gene Hackman movie, it's one you stick with. Now, that has nothing to do with the tragedy. I mean, this is just awful. And there was like a couple of pictures of him finally like getting out. We haven't seen or heard from him in a long time. He's 96 years old. But that's a terrible story. Gene Hackman, his wife, and their dog found dead inside their Santa Fe home. That is terrible. hate to end the show that way, but I just could not react. That is an awful story. And I'm a huge Gene Hackman guy. 888-808-1019, but we'll get back to the calls here and wrap up the show. Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Pete?
Well, incredible, incredible.
That is a terrible story, man. I could not comment on it as I saw it come across the screen here. That is terrible.
One of my favorites, too. Chris, I don't have time for two questions. You want the Beatle question on Jeopardy, or you want me to ask for the sports question?
Beatle question on Jeopardy? Why not? We've talked Aaron Rodgers enough. Do you have anything new and innovative on the Aaron Rodgers situation? Because if you can blow my mind with an Aaron Rodgers take, I'll take it.
Let me answer the Beatles question.
Yeah, all right, yeah,
so this album, I mean, they're the Beatle guys. So this album was re-released in exactly the same period as sang in a song in the same album. Which album is this?
I got it wrong, by the way. Okay, one more time. It was re-released in the same time period?
This song was re-released in the same period, time frame, as sang on a song in this album. So this album had a song that had the same time frame that the album was released.
I'm not even understanding the question totally, honestly.
So in other words, this album was re-released.
Yeah.
Let's say 1 year later.
Okay.
And the song on the same album says 1 year, as an example. You know what I'm saying?
No. You're going to have to just tell me the answer, and then
I'll give you the answer. Sergeant Pepper.
Sergeant Pepper was re-released. Yeah. Okay. And what
20 years after it was originally released.
I gotcha. And 20 years ago today, Sergeant Pepper taught a man to play. Okay. I apologize. I had no idea what you were talking about. And that's not your fault. I'm not sure how else you could have worded it better, but I just didn't get the question. Sorry. Sal in Westchester. What's up, Sal?
Hey, good morning, C-Mac. How you doing?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
C-Mac.
Yes.
I want to diagnose you officially with jedi-itis.
Jedi-itis?
The number one symptom of jedi-itis is being delusional enough to think that old man Rodgers still got what it takes.
That's the number one symptom?
Games.
I mean, all the years of Jets, 15 years of no playoffs, the disaster that has been the franchise, just got voted the only owner in the NFL who had an F grading by the Players Association for running the team. All of those things, the number one symptom of Jets-itis is believing the quarterback that actually played for them one season is better than the one season he provided. That's the number one symptom, Sal?
C-Mac, he's a clown. But anyway, okay. Have a good day, brother.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. No, I disagree. I don't think he's a clown. I mean, does he have interesting opinions? Is he a little out there with his thinking in some areas? Does he cause issues with talking about Epstein list and nighttime hosts and ayahuasca and running for vice president and challenging Fauci to a debate? Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, that's all one person who did all that. Yes, so he's out there. But I still think he's capable of playing. And I'm not telling you he's going to take the Giants to the Super Bowl. What I'm saying is if they are going to go the route of veteran while they draft the young quarterback, give me a better veteran that you'd rather have developed the young guy and play for the Giants. Just give me the better player. Brett in Long Island, I challenge you. Give me the better player, Brett. I know you're against it.
Way to bring the show to a screaming halt before. What a choke. You're a choke.
Sometimes I let it go. Sometimes I don't.
I agree with everything you say. You're a wonderful host.
I mean, I'm a joke for bringing up Gene Hackman's death. I'm a joke? You're an idiot, Brett. I don't know what I was to say. Sometimes I tolerate you. Most of the time I do. You're just an idiot. No, Ralph, just say something so that he's not the last caller. Ralph!
Are you ready for this?
No, I'm not. I appreciate it, Ralph, but I just needed a palate cleanse. I'm sorry. I'll get you tomorrow, Ralph. I couldn't allow him to be the last caller of the day calling me a clown. Gene Hackman, man, in a tragic story. I couldn't let it go. It's terrible. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Ryan on the other side, I appreciate it. Fleegs, you know how I feel about you. Everybody, I'll catch you maybe later today, tomorrow at midnight, sometime after the basketball game. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. The warm-up show is next, followed by the morning show. Stay with us all day long on The Fan. I'm out of here.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up.
you must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.